Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you to make better financial decisions in your life. One way you can help us out, subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen, or our video version, youtube.com/Clark. Also, if you get a chance, I'd love it if you left a review for us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This helps us reach more people. The more people we reach, the more people we can empower each and every day.
Thank all those people. When I read that negative review on Apple Podcasts, like 30 people went in and gave great reviews, which was so helpful and nice. Thank you. We read them all.
Recently, I talked about the craziness of etiquette coaching at work. But there's something that is much more on my radar. It's that workers are struggling financially, and a lot of times it's because they just don't know. And this turns out to be a big problem for productivity in the workplace. I'll tell you how employers are addressing that. And speaking of financial problems, how about long-term care? Something that as people hit 65, unfortunately, the odds are pretty high that at some point later in life, if you've made it to 65, you're going to need some kind of care with daily living. And it's really, really hard to plan for that. We're going to talk that through. So something that any employer HR department can tell you about, a lot of people in the workplace are in financial distress. We've had enormous disruption in the United States over the last 15 years. The very heavy, hard hits people got from the Great Recession following the banking scandals, then the foreclosure problems in the United States. Today, the boomerang effect with housing costs being so crazy, the strain on people from cost pressures is so hard. And so employers are getting hit with a lot of garnishments where they're getting notices, they're having to pull money out of people's paychecks. They're already short of money and pay these wage garnishments. So somebody's net check's even smaller, another stressor. And then something will happen in somebody's life financially, one of those oops, and people are busy worrying about that and not able to focus on work. So employers, you're not running, a daycare center. You're running a business, but this is a reality. This isn't being soft as an employer. You have to be there for your employees. Big companies can afford to have training programs. They can have incentives for people to build rainy day accounts. But everyday kind of businesses, that's beyond what your ability is to do. But if you as an employer can offer people the ability to save money for the future in some kind of way, you'll start to lessen some of that day-to-day pressure that people feel. And so it is possible today for an employer of any size to offer a retirement account to employees without busting the bank. In fact, weirdly, there are federal subsidies for employers that are small that will set up a retirement plan for employees because there's upfront administrative costs that the feds pick up. So you'll set up a retirement plan. You can't solve every financial problem that employees are having. But if you can help employees save for the future, it gives them a path to more financial security in their lives. I will tell you, when I set up our retirement plan for our employees, it was difficult. You know, the marketplace, when I did it, was not friendly to small businesses setting up retirement plans. There was no federal incentive for you to do so. Today, it's much, much easier to make it happen. And now the big low-cost companies are offering plans to small businesses so you don't have to get ripped off setting up a retirement plan for your employees through an insurance company, which used to be where small businesses would tend to go with the extreme high costs and commissions involved with a retirement plan for a small business purchased through an insurance company. Today, you can't get as low cost as a giant company, but you can come up with affordable plans from a variety of providers that will make it possible for you to provide a retirement future for them. And also it helps you as a business owner because you also may not have effectively saved money for the long term and you're part of it too. Again, we can't solve everything for anybody, even at a big company. You tackle what you can, and this is a win-win for productivity and reducing turnover at your business.
Spencer in South Carolina says, my credit rating is 815 or better, depending on the day. I also
have
three credit cards that I play the reward game with, depending on the type of purchase. I want to add the Fidelity card since it has no foreign transaction fees. The problem is I'm also looking to buy a house if the right one comes along. I've been looking for 2 years, so the odds aren't good. I'm kind of picky. I have found articles saying applying for a card really only hits your credit for 5 to 15 points and only lasts on there around 6 months. I've not applied for credit in years, so I don't think history is an issue. Am I good to go ahead and get the card? I have a trip to Ecuador coming up in May. On another note, if I pay back a 401k loan within 7 months for a down payment on a new house, would that be such an awful thing to do? It would allow me to pay cash and then sell my current house to pay it back.
So, okay, that's several things all at once. The Fidelity card, it's great. It has no foreign transaction fees, and that's wonderful for your trip to Ecuador. But the Fidelity card is awesome because it's a 2% cash back card, no annual fee. And so it will do a great job for you for Ecuador, and it'll do a great job for you all year long. I love the Fidelity 2% cashback card. The 6 month thing is usually how mortgage underwriters look at it. You want to apply for no credit at all within 6 months of when you're trying to buy a home because the underwriters just hate recent credit when you're applying for a mortgage. And most of them use that 6 month kind of cycle they're looking at. So sounds like you're fine getting the Fidelity card now. Borrowing from the 401k for 7 months for down payment, I've got no problem with that. The interest rate.
I'm surprised.
7 month cycle. If it allows you, Spencer, to be able to get the home with the down payment while you're floating the other home, your credit's obviously great. I would say if you really do have it open for such a short period of time, that's fine. And I know you're wow, because usually when people take out a loan from a 401k plan, they may intend to pay it back quickly. The pattern is they don't. But I'm gathering from the profile we see from Spencer here that that's not going to be a problem for him. So
all right.
I love to surprise you.
You're always full of surprises. Okay, Lewis in Florida says, I received a group WhatsApp text about a work from home job. It said the job has paid training via WhatsApp. Earnings could be as much as $8,000 per month working part-time. It requires you to be at least 20 years old and a U.S. citizen. The area code was from northern Wisconsin. Is this a known scam?
So specifically what you're asking is not something that's like, oh, I know that scam, but I know the type of scam. This is totally bogus. These things fly around every possible way, social media, emails. This was, you said, a WhatsApp text. Who knows where these people are in the world? It's a con that works repeatedly. Ultimately, they're going to want money from you or some way of accessing, stealing money from you. Stay away from it. There aren't part-time jobs that just materialize out of thin air that are going to pay you $100,000 a year in your spare time.
Tamara in Florida says, I'm trying to decide if I should buy airline tickets from a ticket broker. I gave you the name, Clark. Would you buy international airline tickets from them?
Not unless you want to potentially be stranded somewhere in the world. All right, so let me tell you this game. This has been around since the 1990s. As a way to buy cheap tickets. And the pitch routinely is not for coach tickets. It's for front of the plane tickets, international, usually business class or first class. The ads online will quote these crazy, crazy low fares. You know, why fly in coach for $800 when you could fly in business class and fly in style for $800 or whatever it says. So what people are doing in this case, and by the way, the fares would be more than that in business, even from a broker. A lot of people who travel corporate have a lot of points. They're not really excited about sightseeing, traveling the world. And these points just pile up and they want to unload them. So they'll see these ads for the other side of these ads where they're saying, sell your points and we'll turn them into cash. So the problem is, if you get caught as somebody selling the points, you violated the terms of the frequent flyer program you're a member of, and they wipe out your account. And they do wipe them out. They don't warn you because they want to make it clear to anybody else tempted to sell that your points are going to be wiped out. As a traveler, if the airline figures out you bought the points instead of legitimately being given the points, they invalidate your ticket because your ticket purchase violated rules. So this is a moderate to high risk thing. You have to be the kind of person who really loves going to casinos, buying a ticket through one of these ticket brokers, knowing that in the worst case, you end up stranded with no trip before you start, or stranded at your destination and have to buy a ticket, a one-way ticket back to the United States from somewhere overseas. So are you game for that kind of risk? Most people aren't. Coming up ahead, we're going to talk about a very different risk, the risk that you're going to need serious assistance with life later in life because your health is not as good anymore. How do you deal with that? We're kind of between a rock and a hard place right now on this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at Progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I love solutions. And right now I'm starting with a problem that doesn't have easy solutions. We have an aging population in the United States, and we are living longer other than the dip during COVID. We're living longer, but we're not necessarily in the later years living well. A lot of us, we got ailments, right? And eventually we might not be able to completely take care of ourselves. And so we have a situation without easy solution in the United States, because Americans scatter hither and yon, and often our aging relatives don't live in the part of the country we live. And our culture is different than a lot of others, where families live multi-generations under one roof. We do more of that in the United States than we used to. But in a lot of other places in the world, it's a natural pattern that people take care of the young kids, and then the adults take care of the aging relatives. And it's like a circle of life thing, and it's all done within a family. And that's not historically what we've done in the United States, although more and more that is happening, because people may not have the resources to pay for care later in life. A solution seemed to be present that came alive probably about 45 years ago and became very popular for about two decades. And that was a product that was designed for people to buy later in their work years, typically right around age 60, more or less. And they'd buy a long-term care insurance policy that was really not that expensive, that later in life would pay for care in a nursing home, assisted living, or care in the home. But those policies didn't work out because the actuaries guessed wrong how long people would live, how many people would not be able to take care of themselves, and how much that care would cost. And so the industry imploded. Today, very few people sell long-term care insurance. So where are we today? Today, most care of people who can't take care of themselves in the United States is paid by the state federal Medicaid program. And people have to impoverish themselves before the feds in their state pick up the cost of care for somebody through Medicaid, not Medicare, Medicaid. And so that's where a lot of people get. But let's say you're somebody who's been able to own your own home and you own it free and clear, and you save money, you got money in accounts. You're not going to be eligible for the Medicaid program, but you don't have enough money, because very few people have enough money to just be able to pay for it. I mean, people with a lot of assets, staying in assisted living or whatever is probably less expensive per month than what their lifestyle is, living a nice life, maybe with a second home and all that kind of stuff. So I'm talking about the great middle of the country. There are not wonderful options for this. There are life insurance policies you can buy that are known as hybrids, where you can buy some level of coverage for death insurance, but is convertible for living coverage if when you need long-term care, assisted living, care in your home. It's a set amount of money. You don't have to worry that the premiums are going to escalate or the insurance is going to be canceled. And it's not a perfect solution, but it is one possibility. And the other is that you save as much money as you can, knowing that you've got like a one-third chance maybe you won't need any assistance with living. And then it's money you can just live on, or it's money that you can give to charity when you pass away, or give to your kids, or whatever it is you want to do with whatever assets you have left. But this is a tough one. We as a society have not figured it out. And the reality, again, full circle, is in most families, people have to figure out how to care for aging loved ones. And this is a challenge that adult children are now facing across America. How are we going to do? Are we going to fix a room, you know, over the garage? What are we going to do to provide space in our own home and care in our own home for aging parents who have not been able to save up the money to be able to buy the care that they are going to potentially need someday. That was not the happiest topic in the world, Krista. It's real life.
I don't have the happiest question that's related to follow up. Are you okay if I name the company since it's such a big one that's been in the news here?
Okay, go ahead.
This is from Diane in California. We just received a mailing from Genworth concerning our long-term care insurance. We each have and have paid for the golden policy Clark's mother had since 2008. Each of us has paid in excess of $90,000 total to date. We're 73 and 72 respectively. We are basically in good health with some of complications of aging bodies. We have been presented with several options to continue our coverage with two major caveats as we see it. First, if we continue with our current coverage or even similar coverage, the initial paragraph states there will most likely be a 200% increase this coming year with continuing significant increases in years to follow. Second, the last paragraph states that Genworth currently has only a C++ rating, which we interpret to mean they probably will not be able to stay in business. We do not wish to spend more money for something which may disappear before we need it. We really don't know how to proceed. Is there any insight you might have to help us make this decision?
Diane, gosh, this is terrible. So many people are facing this with the long-term care insurance market going through what's left of it, continuing to implode. Because what's happened is the level of claims have so far exceeded what anybody expected, that if this number's right, that they're rated C++, that means there's questions about them continuing as a going concern. This is the rock and hard place that I alluded to right at the beginning that people are in. So you have a number of really unpalatable choices. You did not mention if they were offering you the ability to reduce your coverage for a lower amount of money. Now, you're looking right now.
This is what Genworth has on their site, that they are
B plus
with AM Best.
Not C plus. B plus, oh, here we go.
Here we go. Financial C++. Strength
yep,
rating.
That's right, C++. You didn't mention if they offer you the option to accept coverage for a more limited period of time. Most often when you're offered that option, it'll be for a 3-year window. And I know you've got the sunk cost of the $90,000, but facing a 200% increase in premiums and knowing that that's just the next year and they could say 200% the year after and on like that, because what happens is the pool of people who stay in gets smaller and smaller. What I've found is the least bad option, let's say, is reduce the coverage time period. Because if you're in a policy like my mom had, it was pretty much an unlimited benefit for an unlimited period of years. And they're trying to get their arms around it to have a more limited exposure. And that would, if that's the option, be the least bad, is to reduce your coverage period or coverage amount in order to keep the premium somewhat reasonable. And I wish I had a better answer. Unfortunately, I don't, because it is a completely broken market.
Larry in Michigan says, Clark, I recently turned 65 and am now on Medicare. My dentist did not inform me that their Medicare patients and only Medicare patients are now considered out of network. This means that I received an unexpected dental bill of $350. Do I have any recourse?
So, Larry, I'm confused as could be, because Medicare doesn't cover dental unless you buy a Medigap policy or you're in an Advantage plan that includes some form of dental, and then you'd have to be in network for the Medigap or for the Advantage plan dental coverage. These lists will tend to be more limited. It would have been great if your dentist told you up front that you were no longer covered. The dentist I go to every single visit, before I go into a treatment chair, they say, have you had a change in insurance? And they want to run that insurance to make sure that you have coverage. And this dentist should have done so. The fact that you only found out after the fact, I would appeal to the dentist for a lower price on this bill in particular. And then in the future, don't say, but I'm not coming to you anymore. Say that you would like to negotiate the price here. And then in the future, you may have to change dentists. But this is something that I'm gathering. I'm only guessing because you haven't said that you have an Advantage plan or a Medigap policy, and you got to dig deep to see what the dental coverage is with either or of those.
Ronald in Korea says, I'm moving from Korea to Washington next month, and I'm looking to get a vehicle, new or used. I took your advice and I'm using Costco's auto program because I don't really want to go through the hassle of haggling with a car dealer. And you said they have to be straightforward and give me the best deal. Otherwise, their dealership loses the Costco partnership. I got a quote on a vehicle I want, and I saw that they added on $1,590 for an anti-theft GPS tracking system that, quote, they install in every used car, end quote, and $851 for fees for the lender. Are these two things standard for dealers to add on, or are these unnecessary junk fees that I should let the Costco program know about?
You should absolutely let Costco know that the dealer is trying to rip you off with mandatory what are known as PACs. PACs are made-up charges that dealers add after you have negotiated the price. And this is not the spirit of the Costco auto buying program. You did say something interesting, though. You said every used car. I have only ever encouraged people to use Costco for buying new cars. I don't have any comfort with a mass market used vehicle buying program, because there's so many variables involved with buying a used car, and I would not feel comfortable with you buying a used car through Costco or anybody else unless, as part of it, you're able to have the vehicle you're considering buying inspected by an independent mechanic. And earlier this week, I talked about how if you're looking at a 1 or 2 year old used car, you have a good shot today that a new one will be cheaper to buy than a 1 or 2 year old used car. But that is just absolutely highway robbery with the PACs. And dealers developed really bad habits during COVID when they had consumers over a barrel with the shortage of vehicles, and having all kinds of unnecessary add-on PACs or junk fees has become just like automatic for them. And the way the marketplace responds is what will matter. When you say, no, I'm not buying it, thanks, but no thanks, and you let Costco know that they're trying to cheat you at this dealer, it gives you power back in the marketplace. And collectively, we have much more power when people just say no to any dealer trying to rip you off with these junk fees, these PACs. Well, business needs to clean up. Thank you so much for joining us for today's podcast. Again, I apologize for the negativity about the long-term care thing. Sometimes things in life are messy. This is messy, but you got to know what you need to know. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. Remember, what are we about? You learning ways to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.